The purpose of my obsessive use of simulators is to take the place of a technician, an electrical engineer acting as a technician, whose job it is to do all the mathematical calculations of electrical engineering for me on my behalf so that I don't have to do it. Secondly, the simulator displays the wave behavior. I don't focus on the numbers so much as the wave behavior in my pursuit of tweaking the circuit to try to find the maximum efficiency of the numbers, you know, the amps and the volts. In the course of doing so, I tweak the values of various components to look at extremes, first one way and another, and since there are several components, that gives me a lot of possibilities to try out, a lot of combinations, and then permutations in the sense of where to arrange the components, what happens if I move this and over to there, and that one switch with this. And so, in the course of doing that, I see all the variation of behavior, and I get a sense for the interrelationships of the components as the wave behavior manifests. And that's far more crucial than solving anything, is to understand the behavior. Once that's well recognized, it's much easier to accept the results, as spectacular or unbelievable as they may seem, because I've spent all that time training myself on accepting, or, well, acceptance comes from understanding, from comprehension, and I'm using the other side of my brain, obviously. I'm not using the analytical side, you know, that crunches numbers. I'm using the Gestalt side that looks at the geometry of the behavior and not focus on the laws or mathematical equations of electrodynamics. So then I can understand and hence appreciate the behavior of the circuit and how in its functionality. And when a circuit is provided that's very simple and straightforward, you know, very simple ideology behind it, it's really cool. And so this circuit idea that Tesla replicated, I believe he simply replicated the Amon brothers, that's all he did, but he did it in his own way. The Amon brothers had to fashion everything from scratch, handmade, you know, device. Tesla used off-the-shelf parts for his circuit, so he didn't have to fashion anything. The only thing he had to fashion was the motor. It had to be slightly modified from conventional standards of motor builds. And that, coupled with the circuit made from off-the-shelf parts, made it easier for Tesla to be very efficient. You know, everything he's done is very noticeable that he's going for efficiency. It's pretty obvious. He has the luxury to do so because he understands already the circuit in principle far in advance of us, the rest of us, so he can afford to take it to the next level and work on efficiency. And that's what he did. He took the Amon brothers' principle or concept, the archetype, and went and made it highly efficient and much more commercially acceptable as a high-class product, something that really, you know, will satisfy consumer demand and not just be a toy, you know, a demonstration toy, but be a very competitive article in the marketplace. But it's still the same concept, it's still the same principle, and it's a two-stage amplification of aerial voltage. It has to be two steps. It's not just one. You know, we think too small when we think of just one. And they're two in the sense that they're different. I'm just speaking in terms of archetype, because within each stage, there can be multiple stages, and that's what Tesla did, different from the Amann brothers. In the first stage, he does multiple sub-stages, so that the transformer, the motor acting as a transformer, will have something to transform. Otherwise, with nothing to work with, it's not going to produce much results. So he has to alter the pickup of the aerial. He has to pre-boost it. He has to give it a little boost, because an aerial doesn't take in very much. It takes in, if you're lucky, at the minimum, a few microvolts. But he needed it to put out a couple of volts of sine waves. So he needed to do two things. He needed to pre-boost the voltage that the aerial is taking in and turn that into a nice high-frequency sine wave of a megahertz or thereabouts, give or take. And so he did it differently than the Amann brothers. The Amann brothers used an evacuated bronze sphere with a string acting as an acoustic resonator strung under tension on the inside of, on the interior of that sphere across its diameter, with a quartz crystal held in place by actually two pieces of string acting as one vibrating medium. And the surface area of that metallic bronze sphere will pick up the voltage very little, let's say 2 microvolts, and cause that piezoelectric crystal to vibrate. Now it's already under tension, and it's an evacuated cylinder, which helps boost its ability to accumulate voltage. So it won't be 2 microvolts, maybe it'll be 70 microvolts. Whatever. It boosts its pickup. Now, there might be a carbon button on either side of the string as it's attached, not directly but indirectly, to the interior surface of that bronze sphere. And so that carbon button has a certain amount of give to it. Very little, but just enough to act as a diaphragm, so that now we've got an acoustic resonator, we have a button, carbon button microphone, two of them, on either side of the wire, and then we have a guitar, electrified wire in a guitar amplifier situation, all rolled into one, and in an aerial, picking up the voltage to begin with, all rolled into one. But Tesla took a different approach, and that should put out a couple volts, not too many, because my simulator only requires 3 to 5 volts of 1 megahertz sine wave. But it does need that. To feed that to the low end of a transformer, namely the motor, although the Amann brothers actually had a transformer in that drum, a step-up transformer, and it has to be a severe step-up. We're talking a big difference between the two windings. So the first coil, your primary now, is going to be 2 turns. And then the opposing secondary, or what's considered the main coil of a motor, for that matter, has to be around 6,000. So it's a 3,000 to 1, or a 1 to 3,000 turns ratio between primary and secondary. But in Tesla's case, he used the starter coils as his primary, okay, and the main coil was the secondary. Well, he didn't have to use the bronze sphere. He could just use a standard aerial attached to the back end of the car. But he chose to use radio tubes to step up the voltage and produce, well, to step up the voltage. He still had to use a quartz crystal, but since you can use, a pentode or a tetrode vacuum tube to have the necessary minimum of 4 connections. 2 for the quartz crystal and 2 for the input and output of each stage amplification. And then one stage feeds to the next so that it's multi-stage as it builds up. And then I suspect you have to put a capacitor in between the wiring of each, so when one so you have the input aerial for your first stage vacuum tube. Then you have your output go to a capacitor that divides and segregates the voltage of each stage so that they don't blend and mix and create one mess. So I suspect you need a capacitor, but you can use vacuum tubes as a capacitor. So that would mean that 5 vacuum tubes would serve as capacitors, 6 would serve as step-up voltages, or 5 of them, or 6 and 6, because he may have needed a capacitor in series with the last pentode or tetrode vacuum tube between that and the motor. And that's not counting the fact that the motor already probably has its own capacitor across its two leads as it is anyway. That's built into it. But in terms of what he had in the project box, so if he had 6 pentode or tetrode tubes serving as 6 stages of stepping up the voltage, and then 6 vacuum tube capacitors to separate each stage, the voltage of each stage, to keep them segregated from each other and segregated from the motor. And these vacuum tube capacitors are wired in series. Everything here is in series, daisy chain connecting. And one single quartz crystal acting as an oscillator. But it has two leads, and it's connected in parallel with each of the 6 pentode or tetrode vacuum tubes. And that's simply it, you know? It doesn't get much more complicated than that. Then he would have needed a potentiometer connected to the foot pedal, the accelerator pedal of the car, to regulate the short, because we need a short across the motor. To regulate that short, and then he needs another potentiometer in mechanically operated inversely to the foot pedal, and that's in series with the main coil on the motor to balance the amps with the volts. But the potentiometer as the foot pedal, accelerator pedal, that's on the shorting wire, and that regulates the overall power. And there you have it.